This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the Country Duty Show on CliffCentral.com. I am Dumisole. My handle is at Dumisole on Twitter.
My name is Katlego, and my handle is at @handful_K.
We had the Vet SRC talking about funding solutions and what they're doing for their students and student community.
I think it's really impressive, hey, that they would do something so great. And it goes out of, like, it makes me so sad, the fact that you have to be so aggressive to get things that are supposed to be a basic right in this country. Like, he said it himself when he, that when he went to go speak to the council, it wasn't something that he just walked in and they were very open-minded about it. He had to go in with a very aggressive attitude,
yeah,
and give them, like, a no way out of here without giving us something that we want, you know?
Indeed.
And I think education is something that we should not really be having to still be fighting so hard for in this country.
But you'll be told, like other people, that being at university is privilege. So stop talking about it as a right or otherwise.
Please don't even start me on that one.
But on the lawyers thing, now that we're talking about rights and privileges, we have two very interesting and smart guys that I've recently met. I'm kidding. I've known them for quite some time. They are sharp legal minds, and they're always, you know, at the back and don't want to be in the limelight. And I had to drag them here and say to them, listen, share your witness and tell us what's happening. Welcome, gents.
Thank you, Stacy. Thank you for having us in studio. The name is Bongani.
Do you have a Twitter handle, Bongani?
At Diggy Bongs.
At Diggy Bongs, you know how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Great stuff. Welcome to the show. And you, sir?
Thank you for having me. I'm Fesane, People Advocate at the Dumonokwe Johannesburg Society of Advocates.
Great stuff. So we have the Country Duty Chief Legal Strategist and someone from the Johannesburg Bar who is going to share some witness. Guys, I know that you've seen what's happening in the country. In fact, I don't even know what's happening. Every 2 minutes, this is a moving train and we get to see things and stuff like that. So there are two, in my view, issues. There's politics and there's the law. And I think those issues go hand in hand. But where are we? What is happening, if you were to summarize it?
So, I mean, from my perspective, I think what you just said, there's politics and the law, and I think we have a president who's using politics to run away from the law, basically. So it might seem like it's different, but I think it's interrelated. And I mean, we'll discuss some of the concepts, I suppose, as we go along, but yeah. I think you have the political dynamics that are currently happening in the country, and you have the president's own personal legal battles that he's facing. And I suppose from a legal point of view, you can say they're intertwined.
Yeah.
And to my previous point, you have a president who's using politics, one might argue, to run away from the law. Unfortunately, things are catching up with him, as it seems.
But why has he been able to get so far away or to do it for so long? Like, it's been 2 terms, for goodness sake, of this guy using things that, when you look at it, you're like, I don't even know politics, but I know that's wrong.
Well, yeah. I think it links up to the introductory remark by the CIC, which is that you can't divorce the law from the politics.
Yeah.
So what you've had is an overbearing president who's used his political power to maneuver around the law. And that's what it has been. It's no coincidence that he prevailed in... That is, Cyril Ramaphosa prevailed in the last conference last December, that now you've got a power shift. It brings into stark focus the interplay between law and politics. So if you've got the political power, you've got the power to manipulate the law,
yeah,
which then answers your question, how has he been in power for so long? Because he's always had the political backing. Now, because it's convenient for some members of the ANC, including the cabinet, and I do not want to quote names, I'm not going to say Malusi Kika. Now
don't check at Malusi Kika on Twitter.
No, absolutely not. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
I still want you know, work from government.
Yeah.
So you have that, and all of a sudden you've got a power shift in politics, and suddenly you've got members of the ANC who've got a different view about the president. So it brings into focus the fact that politics will always influence law, and that's why we've had our current president for as long as we have.
Yeah. I mean, and I think to your point, and it's a very interesting point. So, you know, making a distinction or trying to say that they are not related, would be a farce, and it's not really in anyone's interest for that matter. But let's maybe go back. This is a guy in Polokwane who actually started by getting fired by President Thabo Mbeki because of allegations of corruption, and ultimately he then found himself now in power. And interestingly, he's always maintained that, listen, why are you firing me in circumstances where, you know, I'm not guilty or there's no pronouncement in court? What is your view? Do you think he understands this presumption of innocence?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think with the current president, I think he's still the current president. I need to check my Twitter account.
He's still the current president. I'm just waiting to do that retweet. It's not happening.
I think what he's been able to do and is to basically use the power that he has, the state power, and the resources that obviously comes with having state power, to be able to use the court system, as it were. Some might say abuse.
Yes, I say abuse. I say abuse.
And some might say use, some might say abuse. But you know, when you have the resources and you have the money that comes with the resources and so forth, you can use or abuse the court system. And I mean, we have had instances where some judges have pronounced on that, for example, in some of the cases that the president has faced in the judiciary, where they've said, you know, we think this is really an abuse of the court system now.
Yeah. Okay. And then, sorry to interrupt.
I don't know.
So right now we're at a place where we've seen Zuma's shown us all the loopholes that were there in legal systems that we did not see. Are we able to, or is there a way that we can now go back to change and close off these loopholes? Is it even fair for us to expect the country now, or the state, to now go and change laws because one rogue man came and was like, yeah.
So it's a good question. It's a good question. And it points to where we are as a country. In fact, I was having this discussion with a friend of mine earlier on, and we're making the point that in as much as the president has abused the systems, what we've had, though, is judicial clarity.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we do not know what recommendation means. So we've had our president flaunt his sense of what the law is. And then we've got judicial pronouncement from the Constitutional Court, which pronounced on what recommendation means in the context of a protector.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need to go back and reinvent the laws, because we've got clarity on what the law is.
Okay.
It's the same with what it means when the president is being recalled. What is a motion of no confidence?
Mm.
So we're getting judicial pronouncement in terms of, does the motion of no confidence require secret ballot or an open ballot?
So what,
so
you're
got
saying,
clarity in that regard. So what I would say is, now we've got fleshed out law that we can use appropriately going forward to hold the president.
So all those sections in the books that were gathering dust, now he went and just like,
absolutely.
And this is how it works.
And that is the point.
And then do you so in terms of the powers that he has, that needs to maybe be relooked. Or the powers that a sitting president has maybe needs to be looked at.
Good question again. Yes or no? Sorry to interject.
No, most definitely. Go ahead.
Maybe you can.
I might add something.
Yeah, exactly. So the point is this. As far as I'm concerned, in terms of, see, this is the thing. When the constitution was drafted, we did not envisage a rogue president.
Exactly. And it's not completely wrong.
That's a critical issue. What they had in mind when they came about with the constitution was Nelson Mandela. A benevolent president that abides to the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got a rogue president who's gone about to abuse the constitution. Now, because we've got clarity in terms of what the Constitution provides for, there are proper safeguards for a president that is to come about. So if the next president comes about and there's a report by the next public protector, then he can't say, I'm not bound by this because it's mere recommendation. So we've gotten that safeguard, and we've augmented and safeguarded and fortified the law in that regard. So rather than going backwards and reinventing the wheel, now we've got again law that's not interpreted, therefore we don't know what it means, and then have to go through the same process again.
Okay.
Let's rather work with what we have.
And just to add here to my learned colleague, I absolutely agree with you. And it's not just the Constitution, actually. If you look at all legislation that was drafted around the time when we were still in this glorious
1984.
Peace. Yes. You know, it was drafted with the, it was, you know, with the best intention in mind, but it was drafted for saints, if you might call it that. We're going to have saints in government, we're going to have saints in the state, we're going to have saints everywhere.
Yes.
And
someone actually made a point along those lines that the law doesn't look at the, doesn't take into mind the fact that a human being is inherently unobjective. So it assumes that there's, the people who are always in law are people who can make objective decisions and you know, when doing, when using the offices or positions.
And we've learned the hard way. So what we do, I mean, in the spaces that I'm involved in, for example, when we comment on draft legislation, you draft with the worst case scenario in mind. That's what you should do. That's how you draft legislation. Is the worst, if I get a rogue president or a rogue minister, Minister of Finance, who now wants to abuse the legislation that we have, have I drafted with the worst scenario in mind?
Yes.
Such that even if you get someone who is the worst person you could have had in that position, the law will be able to deal with that individual. So that's how you're supposed to draft legislation, right? So so Zuma has helped us in that respect, that a lot of people are now saying, let's hold on there a bit. Let's not rush into implementing this legislation. Let's make sure that it doesn't matter who's sitting in that office, it doesn't matter who's tasked with implementing it, the legislation can actually implement itself without a person implementing it, because we've drafted it in that fashion.
And that curbs the powers in a way.
It does. It has to, I think, in my view, because if we don't have those powers, then it means, you know, there's nonsense. But I want to just take you to a question by expert Dundla on Twitter. He says, is Ubaba required by law to be at Parliament when the motion of no confidence in him is being debated, or can they remove him in absentia? So there are just three things that I just want you guys to cover for me.
Mm-hmm.
What is a motion of no confidence?
Yes.
Is there a legal definition, for example?
Yeah.
Given what we know, as a matter of fact, he said he's not required to resign. Is there a legal provision or in law where he says, listen, I actually have a case where I'm not required to resign, and the ANC may well, you know, he shows the ANC a middle finger.
Yeah.
So it's, you need to define what a motion of no confidence is.
Yeah.
Can it be debated in his absentia? Does it mean that he has to be there?
Yeah.
And more importantly, does he actually have legal grounds to show the ANC the middle finger?
Yeah, because he says he wasn't notified now, all of a sudden, as if it's a foot to stand on.
Yes.
Okay, so basically what a motion of no confidence is a provision in Section 102 of the National Constitution. And what it provides for is that if Parliament, with a majority vote, passes a resolution to remove the President, then the President, as well as the Cabinet, and that's very important, must resign.
Yes.
Now, dealing with the second question, which is, must he be there when the debate is undertaken? Remember, the President is not a member of Parliament.
Okay.
What that means is, in his absence, the processes must go on.
Indeed.
Okay. Now, is he forced to resign? Because 102 says if the resolution is passed, then he, along with the cabinet, must resign. Now, what if he says, well, actually, no, go jump, I'm not going to resign?
Yes.
What does that mean in law? And that's a debate I was having with a friend of mine earlier on. And it's an interesting one, because it is mandatory, so the president must resign.
So he, but what if he
says, I don't want to resign?
Which he has.
That's the problem.
He said,
I will not resign.
He said, I will not resign.
And, no, absolutely.
And, he says, there's two things. And I'll let you finish on the motion of no confidence. You're explaining it. But while you're doing it, you know, there's some stuff that are coming in.
Yeah.
So he says, I will not resign.
Yeah.
And you would know, the law talks about the right to be heard, the ultimate principle.
He says,
you guys didn't tell me.
Yeah.
You haven't given me reasons.
Yeah.
You know, in an employment sphere, we say, you can't just fire me for no reason.
True.
Yeah.
Do we treat him like an employee, or all the rights that he ordinarily has?
But
he
hasn't
suspended.
Been treating us like employers, guys.
But
can
but
we just
say?
Like, I just don't get this whole thing. We mustn't embarrass the president when he's out here embarrassing us. Yes, like.
But he's subject to the laws of the country. Over to you, legal experts. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about experts. I'll attempt to answer the question. Bongan, do you want to take it?
I will add.
Okay, cool. So my sense is this. So the president, over and over, has been alluded to as a master strategist. I think it's blown out of proportion. I certainly think he's smart.
Yes.
I don't think he's as smart as they make him out to be, though. What he's getting at is this, and this is my projection. When they pass a motion of no confidence in him tomorrow, should he not resign today, he's going to say, I'm not going to resign, and I remain the president until I resign as per the prescripts of Section 102 of the Constitution.
Yes.
Now, what that means is Parliament must then go to court and get a declarator to say, the president has not complied with Section 102.
Yes.
But what does that mean? We're starting off at the High Court, and then he's obviously going to lose at the High Court. Then he goes to the Supreme Court of Appeal. Obviously going to lose there. Then he appeals. Then he goes to the Constitutional Court.
That's another.
But what would that have? What does that mean, though? It means he would have been in presidency for the next 3 months, which is what he's looking for.
Which is very wise.
So, in as much as he accepts that ultimately he must resign,
yes,
but he will buy time over that period of time with all these appeals. So he's a master strategist that I'll give him.
Why can't you give him the 3 months then?
No. What happens to impeachment? When do we throw that one out?
Yeah. Good question. Sorry.
Like,
I know I'm hogging the mic. This is the very last contribution I'm going to make. I'm so sorry. So with impeachment in terms of 89 of the Constitution, remember on the 29th of December last year, the Constitutional Court said, for you to impeach a president, there must be rules.
Yes.
And now Parliament, unfortunately, is undergoing that process
where they're
passing the rules, or rather enacting the rules. Until that happens, they can't impeach the president.
Yeah. So impeachment is out. We're now dealing with motion of no confidence. Bongs?
So, look, we have a president that's creating what we might call a constitutional crisis, as it were.
Yes.
Because if he's defying the constitution, which he has been held to have defied before,
exactly.
So this is nothing new to him. This is like home territory, as it were. So if he decides, you know what, if you guys say I must resign and you vote against me in the motion of no confidence, I'm going to say I'm staying. That's a constitutional crisis.
Of course.
And what does it do then? We run to probably the court, as my Leonard colleague was saying, but he might then say, military, come in, there's a coup here happening, there are people that are trying to forcefully remove me from my position as president. Yes,
that's the thing that you tweeted that, right? State of emergency.
Yeah.
So if he is the reason for the unrest and the lack of peace in the country, does that even still stand?
No.
Unfortunately, no.
No. So state of emergency is, if there's a state of crisis, the president by proclamation may proclaim that there's a state of emergency.
Uh-huh.
What I was discussing with the CIC privately before this discussion was that there's a pharmaceutical decision.
Yes.
Where the president cannot take any action in terms of any act, which is a state of emergency act, until the regulations have been passed. That has not happened. So arguably, he cannot declare the state of emergency.
I mean, what he intimated today at today's interview, and this is one of the triggers insofar as state of emergency is concerned, said, you know, there's potential of disorder and anarchy.
And
you can't now come here or state as a matter of fact and say, well, you know, regulations are not there and stuff. There won't be time to constitute parliaments, to get the regulation for people to comment or it being gazetted. If there's chaos at KZN now with a view of saying we are hands off Zuma, we are supporting him, this nonsense falls now. Surely with the powers vested in him, that would be a ground for him to do so. And given that he's triggered that, surely we may find ourselves under a state of emergency.
Look,
you're a proper ENS graduate.
What you understand, for someone who's listening here, I mean, and this is exactly what he's going to do. He says, listen, there's this nonsense that's happening now. Don't tell me about regulations. And it's exactly what it is. It's a state of emergency. We're suspending the rules. He may well be entitled to do so.
Yeah, so again, the question that one asks is, as the commanders of the military, do you owe your allegiance to the country, or do you owe your allegiance to an individual, being Jacob Zuma in this respect?
Yeah.
So if the so-called commander-in-chief of the army, being Jacob Zuma, has, by virtue of the constitution of motion of no confidence, been held to be ousted by the parliamentarians, as it were, and he decides, I'm not going to go, and then he goes and tries to invoke the military. As a proper military commander, you can decide whether you owe your allegiance to the country and say, listen, pay the laws of the country. I no longer consider you as my commander-in-chief. Yeah. Or if he's still the commander-in-chief, and the military personnel think, you know what, this is what the president has said, and we are going to go ahead with the state of emergency, that could be a possible outcome as well.
So he has the powers to suspend laws, rules, but the parliament doesn't have the powers to suspend rules for impeachment. But this is where we have... like, no, guys. Yeah. This is why we're in this mess that we're in. Because, like, no.
So it's not that easy at the end of the day.
It's not that easy, definitely.
And maybe let's go back to the options. And unfortunately, we don't have time. We normally have like an hour or so and stuff. But what options does he have in law, given the current situation and the impasse? Would he, amongst other things, and the first one, try and head to the High Court and interdict Parliament?
Well, he could. It's a difficult one because there are no basis in law. Because remember, the whole concept of motion of no confidence is not a factual question. And this we get from the judgment last year.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's about the confidence Parliament has in the president.
Yeah.
Whether he's done anything wrong or not is besides the point.
Yes.
The question is, do we have confidence in you?
Yes.
So he will be hard-pressed to find a cogent argument to suggest that this is not in order.
Surely
At best, what he has... No. But this is the thing. With a motion of no confidence, Parliament debates the issue.
Yeah.
The subject matter is the president, but that doesn't necessarily mean the president has to respond.
I see.
And what I'm saying is the best he can do is argue procedure. That procedure is not followed. In terms of substantive law, he has absolutely no grounds. I'm going to let Bongani speak quickly, and I'm going to hijack your show for like 2 minutes.
If I allow
There's
it.
A point. Yeah.
But yeah.
Sure.
Go ahead, Bongs. So, options. I asked, interdicting the Parliament most likely not succeed. Do you think he has anything else?
Yeah, so I think...
Well, if you're his lawyer, maybe let me ask this. If you're his attorney, advising
legal
him now,
advice.
What would you say and what would you give to him?
I'll say, Chief, we've exhausted one day.
So be fired, dude.
At some point, as an attorney, you must be honest with your client. You must be frank and you must be honest and say, look, I can continue wasting your money here, or we can be frank about where we are with the situation right now.
Yeah.
Your options are quite limited. If the vote of no confidence does proceed and you are voted against.
Yeah.
So his options are really limited, to be honest. If he stays there, he stays there as a bully, nothing else, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very quick remark. Yeah. Thank you so much, CIC. So, just completely diverting, there's been a big problem with JMPD. I've written an email to the mayor of Johannesburg.
Oh, yes.
Because there's been a scourge of JMPD without legal recourse.
Yes.
Arresting poor black children that beg on the side of the road. Now, anyone who understands anything about law will understand that is unlawful.
Yes.
We've written to the mayor of Johannesburg asking him to desist. In fact, I went and hounded him in his offices today and I was not allowed to see him.
Yeah.
I'm going to call upon everyone who's listening, use your social power. I'm going to call upon Country Duty to take this up and fight this, because it's an abuse of power. He's done this before with the Red Ants evicting poor black people in the city. He's got a concept of Johannesburg being a city in Britain.
Yeah, it's and this not is Britain. Not here.
Yeah.
I hear you.
If he's got ambitions of having a clean city, then he must run for mayoral committee in Norway.
Sure.
So please take this up, and I'm going to call upon UCIC to follow this up.
We shall. And that was the Country Duty Show on Cliff Central. I think it's safe to say that tonight we should report for duty using hashtag Country Duty. And Sri Songwane, take it away. Baba kulungile uma kuyintando yakho okwenzeke empilweni zethu. Kulungile baba.
This is CliffCentral.com.